For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. President Trump says 4 centuries of democracy in America have been, quote, incredible. One protester disagrees, interrupting Trump's speech, and other state legislators boycott the speech entirely, instead holding their own ceremony to commemorate the arrival of the first enslaved Africans. We have reports from Jamestown and Richmond. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, July 31st. Citing what he called, quote, 4 incredible centuries of history, President Trump closed out Tuesday's ceremony in Jamestown, celebrating in the same place where the General Assembly first met. From Virginia Public Radio, Jeff Bossert reports.
The president said the U.S. has had many achievements, but said none exceeds what occurred there in 1619.
It is our prized inheritance. It is our proudest legacy. It is among the greatest human accomplishments in the history of the world. What you have done is the greatest accomplishment in the history of the world, and I congratulate you. It started right here.
Democratic Governor Ralph Northam spoke at an earlier ceremony. He says the commemoration requires us to examine how we've lived up to our ideals or failed to do so each day.
To understand America as it is today and as it will be tomorrow, we have to understand America as it was yesterday. This site is an important part of that understanding.
The president was briefly interrupted during his address as Democratic delegate Ibrahim Samira held signs reading, "Deport hate and reunite my family." In a statement, Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox called the disruption inconsistent with common decency and a violation of the rules of the House. There were also demonstrators near where Trump spoke. Black state legislators chose to boycott the event, holding their own ceremony at the state capitol, marking the 400th anniversary of slavery. I'm Jeff Bossert.
For more on the Democratic delegate who interrupted Trump's address, Craig Carper from our partner station WCVE reports.
During the speech, freshman Democratic delegate Ibrahim Samira yelled, quote, "Mr. President, do not send us back. Virginia is our home." Speaker of the House Kirk Cox says Samira's conduct violated the rules of the House of Delegates. While praising the president's speech, Senate Majority Leader Tommy Norment was particularly critical of Samira.
I was very proud of him that he did stay on message, and when that ill-advised little bastard decided to make a scene of it, the president was unflappable.
Samira says he felt the need to protest because both he and his family have been the targets of discrimination.
That's WCVE's Craig Carper reporting. And now with a report on the Virginia legislators and state officials who boycotted Trump's speech, instead holding their own ceremony to commemorate the arrival of the first enslaved Africans, here's WCVE's Yasmin Juma.
Hundreds of people gathered to celebrate and recognize the role African Americans have played in 400 years of representative democracy. Delegate Dolores McQuinn of Richmond took the opportunity to protest President Trump's recent attacks on certain Democrats in Congress, including 4 women in the House.
He wasn't just speaking to those 4 women of color, but he was speaking to every person of color in the United States of America. Make no mistake about it.
Delegate Marcia Price of Newport News also called on her colleagues and the audience to uplift the voices of those who face oppression and who often go unheard.
WCVE's Yasmin Juma reporting. U.S. News and World Report has ranked the University of Virginia Medical Center the #1 hospital in Virginia for the 4th consecutive year. The Daily Progress reports the magazine also recognizes 3 UVA specialties among the top 50 in the U.S., cancer, ear, nose, and throat, and gastroenterology and GI surgery. U.S. News says it bases its rankings on patient outcomes, experience, and service, as well as the hospital's use of advanced technologies and also outside accreditations. Virginia's 2 senators have called for a campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of wind-blown beach umbrellas. Senators Tim Kaine and Mark Warner sent a letter on Monday to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. The CPSC says about 2,800 people were treated for injuries from beach umbrellas between 2010 and 2018. In 2016, a woman was struck and killed by a wind-blown beach umbrella. The senators asked the agency to launch an effort similar to its annual 4th of July fireworks safety campaign or its 2010 campaign that taught parents and caregivers about making nurseries safer. Finally today, according to one report, nearly 4 in every 10 Harrisonburg residents above the federal poverty line still have trouble making ends meet. That leads to some difficult choices. Pay the rent or buy groceries, fix the car or pay for prescriptions. As the number of people facing these questions increases, so does the demand for more affordable housing. In the second part, in an occasional WMRA series on living costs, Randy B. Hagee reports.
For your monthly rent to be considered affordable, it has to cost no more than 30% of your household's income. But many households in Harrisonburg don't earn enough to keep up with the cost of housing. As the city's population grows, placing more demand on limited housing inventory, prices go up, leaving some susceptible to losing their housing.
We're now seeing a lot of people who their entire life have been viable and able to sustain their living environment and don't have experience in necessarily being unstably housed.
Shannon Porter is the executive director of the nonprofit Mercy House.
But anybody that's out there living paycheck to paycheck could be susceptible to homelessness these days, particularly if you don't have a lot of family supports around you.
The number of local residents living from paycheck to paycheck is surprisingly high. The United Ways of Virginia published a statewide ALICE report in 2017 analyzing this population. ALICE is an acronym that stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. In other words, the working poor, or those who earn an income level above the federal poverty line but still struggle to afford basic necessities. According to the report, 26% of Harrisonburg's population lives below the federal poverty line, and another 39% live below the ALICE threshold. That means that nearly two-thirds of Harrisonburg residents have trouble making ends meet.
And I think we all know that housing is one of our challenges here in Harrisonburg.
Mayor Dena Reed has been addressing the lack of housing from multiple angles, meeting with community organizations, zoning administrators, and developers to come up with solutions.
It really hit home to me that there's a lot of our neighbors, there's a lot of our families that are struggling. This is a great place to live, and I want them to be able to afford to live here.
For those that do lose their housing, there are a few shelters and organizations they can go to for assistance. Among them, Mercy House, the Salvation Army Shelter, Open Doors Thermal Shelter from November to April, and First Step for survivors of domestic violence. The Harrisonburg Redevelopment and Housing Authority administers local Section 8 housing vouchers and runs 4 properties that offer subsidized rents to those who qualify. How many people in our area actually experience homelessness? For one measure, the Continuum of Care, a program funded by the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, conducts a point-in-time count each January, in which volunteers go to shelters and known camping areas to count the number of homeless persons in their region. The Western Virginia Continuum of Care, which stretches from Harrisonburg to Winchester and includes the surrounding counties, reported 342 homeless persons this year, up from 304 last year. Rockingham County specifically saw a decrease from 149 to 132 homeless persons. Roger Thompson was homeless for 4 years and now lives in the Housing Authority's newest apartment complex, Commerce Village, which opened in 2015 to house the chronically homeless, medically vulnerable persons, and homeless veterans.
I've been there a little 3 years now. I'm glad to get off the streets, and I'm glad to have, you know, a place that I can go home to and everything.
Thompson was in the hospital being treated for a heart attack when a nurse who knew about Commerce Village helped him file an application. He was accepted as a tenant 2 months later. He remembers the manager showing him around when he moved in.
And she asked me, do you want upstairs or downstairs? I said, I'll take either one.
All 4 of the Housing Authority's properties are located in the northeast neighborhood of Harrisonburg, a concentration that Mayor Reed would like to change.
People might assume that the northeast neighborhood is public housing, low income. I want to see a more diverse housing, being more diverse within our communities. And so every community, every neighborhood will have some type of affordable housing in that neighborhood so that it's more well-balanced.
Reed says the city council aims to have a comprehensive affordable housing plan in place in 3 years.
I'm pushing for it sooner than that because I think it's something that we have to tackle now, and it's going to take us some time to figure this thing out, so I don't think we have 3 years.
Thompson says that he hopes for more affordable housing in Harrisonburg.
I just wish there's a lot of places like that for homeless people, so they can be out the streets and everything. Because I've been on the streets and I know what it's like.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
And you can learn a lot more about that story through links that we've posted at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Wednesday.